Flynn, Part 4, Ghosts.
On black, rainy nights like this, the dark things in your life catch up to you. You sense them before you see them. Ghosts from the past bearing memories of some pivotal event that changed your life. An experience you can't fix or forget. I knew that this was going to be such a night when I saw Lori huddled up in the cockpit of the Blarney boy waiting for me.
It's all right, Ted. It's all right, stay back. Hi, Lori.
Sorry, Flynn. I didn't know where else to go.
Oh, it's okay. Man, you're soaked through. Come down into the cabin. I'll turn on the heater.
Thanks.
Don't mind the dog. You stay on the mat, Tides. Stay back. Stay.
Lori Fairfax and I had something special once. We lived together for 2 years. She had a bachelor apartment in Vancouver's West End. And we were both going to UBC. Life was a blast, one party after another. When we weren't trying to save the world, we were drinking it dry. Then, everything went off the rails.
Here, let me take the sweater.
I thought maybe you wouldn't talk to me. All those things I said.
You're wet right through. Take everything off. I'll get some towels.
Know what they did to me? My own mother?
I heard you were out on the street. I tried to make contact, but some guy with a baseball bat said you weren't interested.
Oh, I was doing drugs. I was screwed up.
That's okay. I understand.
I'm clean now.
Good.
I am, honest.
I believe you. Just get in the sleeping bag. I'll heat some coffee in the microwave.
Lori was experimenting with cocaine before we split. I'd tried the stuff, but never felt comfortable with it around. Booze was my thing, and it was expensive enough. But Lori came from a wealthy West Vancouver family, so money wasn't a problem. Not at first. But after we broke up and her parents' divorce went through, her mother cut back her allowance. So she learned how to steal things. And when that didn't work, she learned how to sell herself. Worst part, it was all my fault.
Heat's in the cup. You still take it black?
Thanks. Oh, that's good. Wouldn't have a shot around, would you?
Thought you were clean.
Oh, give me a break. I meant drugs. Wait a minute. Oh, I get it. Ah, you've joined AA, right?
I've been to a couple of meetings. But I still have a brew now and then.
Oh, walking both sides of the street, eh?
You should know why.
Yeah. I can't forget it either. But, come on. Life goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, how are things going? You still crashing with your friends?
Don't I wish.
What do you mean?
That's what I was trying to tell you. My mother had me locked up in the house.
Come on.
I'm not lying. She turned the basement suite into a private rehab center. Barred windows, locked doors, 24-hour caregivers. 6 months of living hell.
Well, maybe it was her way of helping you get straight.
Oh, hey, whose side are you on anyway? You know how manipulative she is. My God, she drove my dad away, and Ted and I had no lives of our own unless we lied about what we were doing.
Hey, take it easy.
She's a bitch. She can't have things her way. She'll lock the door and throw away the key.
Okay. Get some sleep. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Don't tell her where I am, Flynn. I heard her talking to my shrink. They're going to put me in an institution. That's why I made a run for it.
I'm not going to tell anybody. So relax. Look, you need rest.
Yeah. I'll need some money. Maybe I'll go to the States.
We'll talk tomorrow. You're safe here tonight.
Thanks, Flynn. I knew I could count on you.
Yeah, she knew she could count on me. I guess there had been a day when that was true. Now I wasn't so sure. I turned out the lights and propped myself against the bulkhead. I didn't want to sleep. I knew what I'd meet there in the darkness of my dreams.
Slow down, Glenn. You're going too fast.
I'm driving, okay?
The brake fluid's leaking, remember?
It's a vintage car, Laurie. You have to expect a little wear and tear, right, Ted? Ted? Hey, Ted!
He's passed out.
Is he now? Then we better get Sleeping Beauty home to bed.
Look out! The guardrail!
Oh, Jesus!
My arm.
Oh, come on. Here, I'll help you. Oh, I gotta get this door open. Easy.
Okay.
Ted!
Don't worry, I'll go back for him. You'll be all right. You just sit here, I'll get him.
Glenn, the car's on fire!
Ted, hurry! Come on, get out!
Ted!
I'll help you!
Ted! Ah!
So, now you know what I've been living with the last few years. I killed one of my best friends, Lori's brother. It was something I couldn't fix. Something I'll never forget. It drove Lori to drugs and broke us apart. It was 5 a.m., still a little dark and wet outside. I checked on Lori. She was gone.
Damn it, Lori. Where this time? Oh, yeah, now you bark. Where'd she go? She's taken her clothes. And my cracker tin. $200. Oh, man, she could be anywhere.
I checked the Causeway Road leading off Granville Island. There was no traffic, but she might have caught a taxi. God knows when she left. I ran along the back street past the boatworks, looking into doorways as I went. As I reached the wharf near Bridges Restaurant, I came across a sailing boat moving out into False Creek under power. At the helm was a tall, bearded man in heavy weather gear.
Hey there! Aboard the boat! I'm looking for a friend of mine, a young woman. She was wearing jeans and a Cowichan sweater. You see her anywhere?
The man looked up at me briefly. He pushed his long gray hair back from piercing blue eyes and fixed me with a cold, unfriendly stare. He said nothing. And in a moment, the boat disappeared into the rainy mist. I spent most of the next 3 days in the seedy section of town talking to anyone who knew Lori. Hookers, street people, a couple of vice cops. No one had seen her. I had pretty well decided she'd blown town when I ran into Eddie, Lori's once upon a time friendly drug dealer.
Sure, I saw her right after she split from her old lady's house.
3 nights ago.
That's right, she wanted money.
She gave it to her?
Hey, I'm no charity. This ain't Mogadishu or Bosnia, man. I pay child support, need the bread. Know what I mean?
Okay. Here's $20. Stop jerking me around.
She says someone was stalking her.
Stalking? What? You mean like a John?
She didn't know. Never had a good look at him. But it scared her. All the girls around here have been on edge since Allender murdered that hooker.
Allender's in the slam.
Maybe he wasn't the only one. There's lots of weird guys out there in the night, you know. Hey, the 12 o'clock horn. I'm out of here. If I see Lori, I'll phone you.
Yeah. Thanks.
My line of work puts me in touch with all kinds of people in life's little game of snakes and ladders. But what Eddie said about the Allender murder sent shivers down my spine.
Hey, Clint! Over here! Over here!
I recognized the car first, a dark blue Lincoln Town car. Behind the wheel was Mrs. Fairfax's chauffeur, Trask. an ex-boxer with pretensions as a ladies' man.
What do you want, Trask?
Gideon, Mrs. Fairfax wants to talk to you about Miss Laurie.
We got nothing to say to each other.
Get in. Or would you rather I turn you into a pretzel and put you in the trunk?
Laurie's family home was a spacious fieldstone mansion set in a wooded area overlooking the approaches to Burrard Inlet. Must have been worth $2 million, give or take. Trask left me in the living room. Leather furniture, huge fireplace, original art. Recent Robert Davidson, a couple of vintage Jack Shadbolts. There were embers on the grate in the fireplace and something smoldering to one side. I tried to get a better look.
I always keep a small fire going in here. Keeps the dampness out. Hello, Michael.
Trask said you wanted to see me.
I'll lay the whole thing out for you. First of all, I want you to know I haven't changed my opinion of you and what you did to my family.
You made that pretty clear at the inquest. What happened to Ted still eats at me. I don't need you to remind me.
You still care about Laurie, don't you?
Of course I do.
She's run off again.
Trask told me.
I want you to find her.
Why me? You've got enough money to hire the best PIs in the business.
Well, I've tried the largest agency in town, and they drew a blank. And the police. They think I'm just another hysterical mother. You know Laurie better than I do in some ways. Despite everything, she still trusts you. For all I know, she's been in touch with you already. If you know where she is, you don't have to tell me. Just let me know she's safe.
Can we take a look at her suite?
The basement hideaway looked like a suite at the Pan Pacific Hotel. Nicely furnished and fitted out with a kitchen and full bath. Large TV, stereo radio with CD and tapes. A table in one corner for craft work. All the creature comforts. But there were bars behind the curtains on the high windows. And double locks secured the door leading from the stairs.
This is the last thing I wanted to do, lock her up like this. But I had to keep her off the streets and away from the drugs. She's so self-destructive.
I remember some of this ceramic work. She still do that?
Now and then. Her therapist recommended it.
What goes around comes around, I guess.
What do you mean?
Oh, when we were at UBC, Laurie volunteered with an occupational therapy clinic. You know, one of the psych department experiments.
Didn't do Laurie much good.
Guess not. I don't remember this one.
Oh, that part with the crazy face. Oh, she didn't do that one. I don't know where it came from.
I looked more closely at the figure cut into the side of the pot. It looked familiar. A wild-eyed old man with long white hair. I looked at the inscription scratched into the base. Beware the wrath of God, it read. Then I remembered the old man on the boat near Granville Island sailing out of port the morning Laurie ran away.
The phone.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing. Trask will answer it.
You're hiding something, aren't you?
I've been getting phone calls every day since Laurie ran away. A distorted voice asking if I know where my daughter is.
It's a call for you, Mrs. Fairfax.
I can't do it.
You've got to. Switch on the speakerphone so I can hear what he says.
I'll take it up in the study, Trask. Hello?
Mrs. Fairfax, do you know where your daughter is?
Oh, my God. Who is this? Don't hurt her, please.
You have my instructions. $250,000 for the safe return of your daughter, Laurie. You have 3 days to collect the money. Old $50 and $100 bills in a suitcase. And you will be advised about the drop. And remember, no cops, or your daughter's dead.
Wait. Let me speak to her. Laurie?
Look, we better get the police involved, fast.
No, please. You heard what he said. He'll kill her. Look at this note.
It was in my mailbox this morning.
Letters cut out of a magazine.
What's all the excitement about?
They called again. You see, the note says the same thing. Contact the police and Laurie gets killed. You have to find her on your own, Flynn.
But I don't have the resources.
I'll give you all the money you need. Spread it around. Someone knows where she is.
It's a hell of a risk.
I don't trust him, Mrs. Fairfax. He may be part of a scam. Let me ride shotgun on him.
Oh, yeah, sure. And beat the information out of my contacts.
That's an idea. I'll start with Eddie, that little ferret you was talking with downtown.
Now stop it, both of you. There's no time for this. Get the car, Trask. Drop him off wherever he wants to go. Here. $5,000, Flynn. Find my little girl.
Mrs. Fairfax insisted on hanging on to the ransom note in case she had to eventually turn it over to the police. But I still had the small ceramic pot warning me to beware the wrath of God. I didn't tell her it was my best lead. Despite everything, I still didn't trust her.
Flynn, where in the devil have you been for the last few days?
Personal business, Sam. Can I talk to you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Personal business. Is that all you've got to say? We've got a dozen cases on the go here.
Maybe I should keep it to myself.
No. Willie didn't mean anything. No, fill in both of us. Flynn, we are partners. Huh? Judging from the fancy car that dropped you off, this probably has something to do with Laurie Fairfax. Am I right?
And who's Laurie Fairfax?
All in good time, Willie. All in good time.
I gave them a thumbnail sketch of events over the past 3 days. Willie seemed especially curious about Laurie. I guess I never talked about living together with anyone. Of course, Sam knew the whole story. I was doing some scut work for him at the time of the accident. He represented me at the inquest.
You want my professional advice? Turn the whole thing over to the police.
Let's see the pot again.
The guy I saw looked just like that, kind of an angry Moses.
Wrath of God, wrath of God. Where have I heard that before?
The Old Testament?
No, a court case a few years ago. Gulf Islands. Well, somebody blew up some piping, a group trying to stop development.
You're talking about half the population of B.C. You know, there are lots of craft people working on the Gulf Islands. This pot might have come from there. Oh, wait a minute. Look, it's signed.
Yeah, it looks like R.G.
R.G. Rafe Goodman. That's the man.
Rafe Goodman?
Yeah. Acquitted for insufficient evidence. Now, I sat in on the case. Yeah, a former university professor, you know, psychology, psychiatry, something like that.
UBC?
Well, could be. Anyway, he dropped out. He set up a cult of some kind. Now, the trouble was on Galliano or Salt Spring. But he was living on a smaller island.
Well, it's got to be him. Handicraft therapy at UBC. He knew all about Laurie. That's where she volunteered.
This Rafe Goodman was a little nuts, but... not the kind of guy who would kidnap someone.
And why would he kidnap Laurie? You said they knew each other.
Maybe the cult needs money. Anyway, the fact that Laurie can identify him makes things more dangerous than ever.
It was dark by the time I got back to Granville Island. I was walking down the deserted dock to my boat, feeling a little spooked by the squeaking of fiberglass hulls against plastic fender guards.
Beware the wrath of God, Michael!
Then, out of nowhere, he blindsided me and threw me to the deck of a waiting craft.
You'll stay where you are if you know what's good for you.
He sat, watching me from his position at the tiller. Nothing was said. After sampling his rough introduction, I wasn't looking for a way to provoke him with small talk. But my mind was filled with questions. Was this Rafe Goodman? And if so, had he really kidnapped Laurie? Where was he taking me? Then, half an hour into the Strait of Georgia, he lit up a corncob pipe in the dark and stared at me.
I expect you figure me for a crazy old coot. All this wrath of God business.
Everyone's got a right to his own beliefs.
Well, my belief is you're going to scare the hell out of some people. There's nothing like a crazy religious fanatic to run off the hypocrites.
You think I'm a hypocrite?
We'll see.
I'm a friend of Laurie's. Do you know where she is?
Safe from the fornicators and purveyors of filth.
So you were the one who snatched her?
Rescue the perishing. It's an obligation. I am an instrument of God. Just as we all are instruments of the unknown intelligence who created all living things.
So you're part of a cult?
You see something different? Slap a label on it, eh? No. We're just a family. We live a simple, independent existence, trying to recover from wounds we suffered in the so-called real world.
Lori's mother thinks her daughter was kidnapped.
You want to help Lori, you stay away from that woman. Concentrate on helping Lori forgive you and herself for what happened to her brother. That's at the heart of her problem.
I don't know where to start.
Start at the beginning. Forgive yourself first. Then you can help her. It's not Jung or Freud, but it works.
Lori was there, waiting near the dock. A single oil lantern illuminated the landing site of the tiny cedar-roofed settlement. Rafe left us alone and walked up to the main house.
I'm sorry I tried to trick you. I sent Rafe to get you so I could explain.
It's all right.
I knew my mother would get to you sooner or later. I had to throw her off the trail, make her think I was going to the States.
Why tell Eddie someone was stalking you?
Same reason. I wanted people to think I was too scared to stick around. Here's the 200 I stole to make it look authentic.
Keep it.
Don't need money around here. Rafe teaches us to be self-sufficient. We pick berries, catch fish, dig out clams and oysters, weed the garden.
Sounds like fun.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But it agrees with me. Been here less than a week and I sleep like a log.
Strange old bird, this Rafe Goodman. Can you trust him?
Trust Rafe? Of course. What makes you think I couldn't?
He isn't what you'd call stable.
Well, would you be if you'd found your daughter had OD'd in a back alley off Granville Street? The social workers told him she was starting to get her life back together.
Yeah, but he's still a little crazy. I don't feel comfortable leaving you here like this.
You'd rather have me locked in the Fairfax dungeon? I told you, they're planning to have me institutionalized.
Lori, someone sent your mother a ransom note. It said you'd been kidnapped.
But that's ridiculous. Look at me. I'm free as a bird.
Yeah, but confined to this island. You don't know who might be trying to take advantage of your disappearance.
And you suspect Rafe? Well, that's crazy. Oh, I can't believe this. I thought you would be happy for me.
I am. I want to sort things out so I know you're safe.
Wait a minute. I get it now. You're working for my mother, aren't you?
I told her I wouldn't betray you.
You S.O.B. I should have known. Oh, I was stupid. Stupid, stupid. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Lori, I won't tell them.
Early next morning, Rafe Goodman, the wrath of God, took me back to the mainland. I sweat out every beat of the auxiliary motor, every ripple of the changing tide. His face was a mask of anger. We didn't speak.
Sam, I got something I want you to do for me. Yes, I'm all right. Now listen, about the ransom note, I think I know what happened. But I need you and Willie to help me prove it. I'll meet you at the Fairfax house. No police.
Flynn, where the hell you
Where's
been?
Mrs. Fairfax?
Oh, Flynn, what's happened? Did you find her?
I did. And I know now she's perfectly safe.
But the ransom note. How can you be so sure?
Because of this. Recognize it? Oh, I know it's partly burned, but you can still see where the letters for the ransom note were cut out of the magazine.
Trask, you fool! I told you to burn everything.
I did. It's a trick.
That's right, a trick. I got thinking. If Rafe wasn't the kidnapper, then who else would have a motive? What if the motive wasn't money? Then who else would be that devious? That's when I thought of you, Mrs. Fairfax.
It's for her own good. She'll have the best doctors, the latest medicines.
I think she has those now, Mrs. Fairfax.
You tell us where she is, or
I'm wired, Trask. My friends are outside. Everything's on tape.
You're lying.
Sound the horn if you can hear me, Sam.
Oh. Disconnect the microphone and let him go, Trask. If you plan to blackmail me with that tape recording, I'd think again, Flynn. We've done nothing illegal. We haven't even involved the police.
Oh, that's true, but I have a newspaper friend who might be intrigued by the story. You know, the bizarre behavior of a wealthy socialite who kept her daughter locked in a basement room, then faked a ransom note to get her back when she ran away.
All right. What do you want? More money?
Give Lori a little breathing room. She's off the streets and with friends who can help her. Here's the $5,000 you gave me.
And the ransom story?
I'll keep the tape. You keep the bargain. I was on pretty flimsy ground with the unofficial tape recording, but it seemed to work. Mrs. Fairfax backed off for a while. I hope for as long as it takes for Lori to get back on her feet again. Last week, I got a homemade card in the mail. Inside was a picture of Lori with some of her friends. She looked happy and healthy. The message on the card read, "Dear Michael, I am peaceful and content at last.
I saw my brother Ted in a dream the other night. He was just like we remembered him. Happy-go-lucky, full of fun. Maybe it's time we forgave each other for his death. I know he has. Have a good life, Lori."
You've just heard Flynn, Part 4, Ghosts by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Michael Flynn, Colleen Winton as Willie Green, and Robert Clothier as Sam Green. Special guests this week were Janet Hodgkinson as Lori, Duncan Fraser as Rafe, and Lillian Carlson as the mother, supported by the voices of Kim Kondrashoff and Dwight McPhee. The production assistants were Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. And the recording engineer is Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva and Daniel Imbeau. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nichol. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalczyk. The series executive producer is Bill Howell.